Okay.
If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love of the most radiant one, Jesus the Christ. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is, are you burdened or are you free? So let's take a deep breath and relax. As you very simply experience the presence of God that's all around you, right where you are. Experience that presence by turning your attention and reminding yourself that wherever you are right now in your life, God is. And all is well. You are in God like a star in the sky, like a dolphin in the ocean. You may not be aware of that. And that's what our seminars are designed to bring you into greater awareness of how safe you are, of how beloved you are, of how eminently present with every beat of your heart, with every breath you take, in every place and condition in which you find yourself. You are in God, and God is in you. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And that same divine power that worked the wondrous miracles through Jesus of Nazareth, that fed the multitudes, that raised the dead, that healed the sick, that resurrected his own shredded body back to life and wholeness, that same power resides in you. That exact same power, although in most people it has never been exercised, because you have to choose to exercise your gifts, your awareness. You have to claim the promises that you've been given. So these states are already yours, have already been given. So the whole idea of having to become anything, including free, is actually an illusion. Either it is your eternal state, eternally vouchsafed for you and to you by your Creator, or it's not. And if it's already been given, then it simply remains for you to receive it. Very simply, to receive it. So let me ask you, are you burdened tonight? So many people, you know, if you talk to people, very few people will confess their freedom, their joy, their wholeness, their holiness, their completeness, and their gratitude. So very many times you'll hear a litany of complaints, a litany of discontent, of problems and worries and angst, regrets and remorse. But behind all of that angst is a peace so deep that no matter what happens in the dramas of this world, which if you look, they're always going to be going on. The whole world is but a drama, constantly recycling. And you know what? You can live beyond that. You can be in the presence of the Almighty, sheltered under those great pinions, those great wings, symbolically speaking. You can be hidden in the safe place, no matter where you are. The storms can come, and the waves can rage, and your house perhaps could be blown away. But no matter what happens, when you have experienced absolute freedom, the freedom that God has given you, you rest in a security that nothing and no one can ever take from you. So, what causes the sense of burden? Well, for one thing, it lets you know you're carrying something that is not meant for you to carry. You're burdened by your own demands that you feel that you have to fulfill to be worthy of freedom. That's how the world lives. That's not for you, beloved. That's not what Christ went to the cross to purchase for you. Didn't he say, "Come to me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What in the world does that mean? It means that he's already carried, fulfilled, completed, and done everything that could possibly be needed to purchase your complete worthiness, righteousness, right standing, restoration. Didn't he say, "Behold, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is within you"? Didn't he also say, "The kingdom of God is at hand"? And behold, the kingdom of God is amongst you. And he likened it to a little mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds. But it has a way of spreading and growing and becoming very, very large, as a tree. and it spreads prolifically so that one little tiny seed can give rise to, you know, an ever-spreading foliage of these mustard plants. And so he was the seed sown in the ground, which firmly anchored that as a matrix of energy, as a template, to proliferate an entire kingdom and inheritors of that kingdom, which many of us have come to call the new earth or the ascended earth or the fifth dimensional earth. And it doesn't matter what you call it, it is. And it is spreading, heart by heart, soul by soul, choice by choice, just for the receiving of the gift. So let me ask you, are you free? Go on, have a look. Have a look if you're not certain. And if you're having to look, you're not certain. Because when you're free, you're free. And you know it. So what do you exactly believe about freedom? What do you believe that you need to do or be or have to be free? This takes great courage. It's a very powerful act of courage to simply look, to see what's there, what is so for you. So let's examine some of the beliefs that many associate with being free. So often you'll hear someone say, well, I'll be free when? And generally, that means that they need more of something or less of something or someone, and then they'll be free. And I think we're all familiar with the one where we'll hear ourselves sometimes saying, ah, if only such and such would happen, I'd be free. So if you've been listening to a few of our seminars, you will be aware of, hopefully by now, that our focus is one of expanding divine awareness, both within and experientially without. And to constantly bring before our attention that we live in a maelstrom of energy, a crucible of constantly polarized energies here in this third dimensional expression. And while we operate through a body, we are not a body. In fact, the body is best looked at as a deep sea diving suit that you put on to dive deep into the density that we call the third dimension. And to be aware that each level at which we manifest, we have another vestiture that clothes us. But the body that we are most interested in at this time is moving into what has been called the glorified body, the resurrected ascension body of light, which is an outcropping, an extension of your awareness of yourself as ever in God and God ever being in you, living in Christ and Christ living in you as the hope, as the earnest in terms of the payment, and as the glory manifested, so that you are constantly expanding from that seed of the kingdom that dwells within you as it becomes emblazoned, empowered, and expanded through every cell of your being. And the Christ begins to inhabit you fully through his divine spirit, clothing you with that same glory that clothed him. That is not of your doing. It's not of your mantras. It's not of your effort. It is a gift of grace received by faith alone, and not by your works and your doings and your knowings and all of that, lest anyone claim the glory for themselves, lest we think we have the slightest degree of ability other than to lay that life down in absolute humility and emptiness of selfhood and receive like a little child. But you know what? You don't come initially like that. You come as you are. If you're broken, you'll be restored. If you're diseased, you will be brought into ease through the divine comforter. You will be healed. For in highest truth, all appearance of the fall that seemed to bring death and disease and pain and misery into this world was in the nature of a nightmare from which we are lovingly being called to awaken. But one was sent into this world fully awake, never for an instant buying into separation, who walked into this hollow deck of misery and despair and enacted a perfect life and exchanged that life consciously and willingly for you and me and everyone. So he wants that exchange to happen. You come to him as you are, all messed up, having nothing together, whatever. But as filthy as you are, as you approach the Father will come running and take you into his arms and lead you home where there is a great celebration awaiting you. For you have returned home. And those who have entered the holodeck of illusion and bought into the play of duality and separation and division and differentiation, indeed, when you awaken and come to yourself and say, I must return home to the Father, the Father is already on his way to greet you and welcome you home. And then there is the Son that never went forth. For there are those souls that have not yet entered into this planetary system of testing and trials and polarized points of view and entrapping, engaging, enchanting scenarios of doing and becoming and efforting and trying and failing and all of that. They haven't come through that crucible yet. But they will at another time and another cycle. But right now, this is your time and your cycle. It is your time to step free through grace. Do you have a slightest idea what that is? Well, let me ask you this. Do you still carry the burden of your past? Things you've done, said, not done. The kind of parent or spouse you have been or have not been. The sense of failure of whatever you tried to do and it didn't quite pass the mark of what you had set before yourself or others had set before you. Are you still carrying the pain and trauma of things that happened to you long ago? Do you keep bringing them back in, reconstructing them by remembering them? Are you tormented at night with bad dreams Do you know that's not God's will for you? God did not give you a spirit of fear. Torment is not ever of God. God gave you a spirit of love and of peace and of a sound and balanced and calm mind. God did not give you a spirit of confusion, but of clarity and the ability to always hear His voice. And you know what? You don't have to do any fancy shenanigans to experience that. So let me ask you this. Have you ever asked God to forgive you of all of your sins, all of your mistakes, all of your transgressions, all of the things that have weighed heavily upon your conscience? Do you know that He is faithful to forgive you and to wash you as white as snow? That's why Jesus came into the world. Because only His blood has the power to blot out, erase, cancel completely the effects of your past and justify you, which means you will be just as if none of that ever happened. There was a pastor that told a story that was very, very interesting. He was taken on a inner journey spiritually to heaven. And he saw the great books of God's remembrance opened. And he was having a near-death experience. So he was a Christian and was interested in the whole process. And he was shown how the books were opened. But his record of all his past had been completely blotted out. It wasn't there anymore. And another book was opened, and it was called the Lamb's Book of Life. And there the angel pointed, and he saw his own name written, justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus the Christ. Redeemed and free. And he was amazed. So these are very real things. Very real. So if you have never done this, or if you're not feeling really clear today, if there's anything on your heart, your conscience, your mind, just very sweetly, quietly, simply, say, Father, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Wash me white as snow. Make me clean, every bit clean. And I ask from now on that the Lord Jesus teach me and guide me. Be my way shower, and I will walk with Him hand by hand and follow Him all the days of my life. And as you issue that invitation, something marvelous happens to you. You will feel for the first time truly free. Truly free. And then you just follow the Lord. You accept by faith that His righteousness has been now given to you, so that when the Father looks at you, or any one of us that have come to him. He sees only one uniquely begotten Son, because it only takes one in the sonship to perfectly fulfill that divine pattern, which then, like the mustard seed, spreads throughout the entirety. And we all co-share and co-participate. And the only difference is between those who have received this gift and those who don't know about the gift. You can hardly receive something if you don't know about it. And how will they know about it if someone isn't sent to tell them about it? So now that you know about it, you're being called by Jesus to go forth and share the good news with others. That today, this instant, they can come to God and have complete pardon of everything that they have done that has weighed heavily upon their conscience and caused them to feel less than worthy and worthwhile. Many of you believe in karma. Do you know that that was a belief before the coming of Messiah? Jesus took all of that karma. I asked him many years ago about karma, and he said there is no karma in Christ. So when the Son sets you are free indeed. And for the first time, you'll experience that freedom. Now, we try many things to be free. Goodness knows I speak from experience. But there's no freedom in religion. There's no freedom in philosophy. There's no freedom in theology or knowledge or metaphysics or shamanic practices or esotericism or in any of those isms. Every single one of them gives you a list of things to be done in order to ascend or move into the Merkaba or reunite with your whole, whatever, your twin flame or your soul or your monad or your whatever, whatever. It's all these things you have to do. But when Jesus did his completed work on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He didn't follow that up with any kind of a, "I'll return later and complete the job." Or maybe after 100,000 more lifetimes, you'll make it. Or once you're perfected, you'll make it. None of that. In fact, I think the way, capital W, that Jesus has offered to us stands unique in all of history, because he is the only being who ever came, we're told, from the very highest heavens to earth specifically to seek and save the lost and to offer his life as ransom for the many. Nobody else. In fact, if you study the world saviors, the world teachers, the avatars, most of them came to do something else entirely. Some came, like Buddha, to attain enlightenment, to find the secret of suffering and how to avoid it. Some came as avatars to exemplify the divine kingdom, perfection of the ideal husband, the ideal king, the ideal administration. Some came to exemplify the divine play between the lover and beloved, to enact the lila or the divine exchange, the plays, the disporting of the soul with God. Some came to restore Dharma, or the right rule of moral governance upon the earth. Some came to reestablish the Vedas or other spiritual texts. Some came as prophets to tell forth a particular message. But one and one alone came to die in your place, to purchase you from the kingdom of darkness and restore you eternally to the highest divine positive realms of spirit and to eternal life. Because the life that is lived in error does not inherit eternality. It goes into the devouring fire at the end of the cycles of manifestation. So those works are burned up like straw and wood and hay and chaff. Only the things that we do with God, through the divine spirit of God, have eternal life. But the moment you have received the gift of divine pardon, you are in that moment restored and seated in the highest divine realms of consciousness, right next to the Lord Jesus the Christ, in the presence of God. You are in that instant, even while you're walking around, doing your life, making your mistakes, doing whatever you do, because you will fall and make mistakes. That goes with having a human bumble body. So, you know, it's not that you live a perfect life. He lived a perfect life. That's enough. We just follow him as nearly and as dearly as we possibly can. And we learn of him. We learn how to listen, how to follow his very subtle nuances of guidance that come through your conscience, come through your sense of rightness. And when you go off track, you know, the parable of the lost sheep, he will find you. No matter where you wander off, he'll leave all of those in the sheepfold and go out and find you. Because once you've given yourself into his care, nothing in heaven, on earth, inside the earth, under the earth, off planet, into the galaxy, no one and nothing can wrest you out of his hands. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can deprive you of your eternal destiny, your eternal life, and your perfect safety in his care and keeping and governance. And everything that he flows into your life or that comes in into association with you, all things are worked together for good. So that even when you make a mistake, it turns out to your favor. It turns out to be a blessing. So that you become a walking blessing wherever you go, wherever your foot touches. Whatever you say, whatever you do is maximized for kingdom potential. You activate, you quicken, you impart the very blessings of that divine spirit. Whatever you do, whatever you say. And the more faithful you are to being true to that inner voice of the beloved, of the good shepherd within you, the more the greater works are entrusted to you and released, so that as you mature in your spiritual walk, you find more and more and more of that divine essence spreading through your life, through your words, through your actions, through your influence. Until you're able to live such a laid-down life, such an exchanged life, such a wholly yielded life that only the Holy Spirit operates through you. And then you can say like Jesus did, I of myself do nothing. I do only what the Father tells me to do. I say only what the Father tells me to say. And it is said that we shouldn't plan what we are to say. That wherever we are, say for example, you're called before a court or whatever, that in that instant, the Holy Spirit will tell you and guide you in what you are to say and what you are to do. So it becomes such a faith walk, such a walk of trust, where you don't lay out plans beforehand and choreograph everything. You get yourself in conscious awareness of that presence. You call forward that invitation to be filled, because the Holy Spirit continually is meant to refill you like a fountain bubbles up from your innermost parts and spreads forth as you minister, and then as you tabernacle with the presence of God within you, it's refilled and replenished and goes forth again. And that's how you minister from your overflow, from the upwelling of God's Spirit within you, which is a spontaneity. It's an uprising of inspiration, which means to be in the Spirit, and in theos, enthusiasm, which means to be in God. And God breathes you, and God speaks through your voice, and God touches through your hands. And you're instructed to go forth and do the same things that Jesus did, but even greater, because now we do it as a collective, as a body of Christ, which means we need each other, which means we're designed to function as a coordinated unit, each one with our particular flavor, so to speak, our particular function within that body. And it's different. And yours is yours. And you don't have to copy or feel slighted, because the gifts are given without any respect to the person. They are given freely. And I would say it's simply a matter of how much we're able to step aside in our own personal agendas and to be available for the whole Spirit to wholly fill us. And as we learn to operate in the Spirit, to where we're not looking back and looking for the accolades or the payoff. We don't have an ego's agenda to be noticed. Oh, that'll be there in the beginning, you know, as you mature. But eventually you become more and more filled with divine glory, which completely obliterates the sense of self-doing and self-consciousness, so that you're emboldened in a way that you couldn't possibly be when you're acting out of your own biophysical energies and knowledge and works. You truly don't know what you're going to say until you're in a situation and the Holy Spirit guides the words that come out so that they're just right. And sometimes when you're operating in that prophetic gifting, you say things that, you know, you hear yourself say that and you go, wow, why in the world would I phrase it that way? Why in the world did I say that? Now, you sort of do that in the beginning. Later on, you just trust. But in the beginning, it's like, wow. And then that person will say, or start to cry, and it's like, I had to hear those exact words. And then you know it was the Spirit of God that was speaking. Because we of ourselves don't know how to speak into anyone's life. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to do anything of our own lower levels. Everything that comes from God comes fresh as a revelation of the divine nature in which we live and move and have our being, in whose image and likeness we were fashioned by His own hands, so that the nature of God is our nature. When we are unburdened with our sense of becomingness, our sense of blightedness and brokenness, when we can just cast that at the feet of the Lord and leave it there, let it be consumed and dissolved into the nothingness in which it's come, or dissolved in His love, however you prefer to see that. Until we do that, we're followed around by our past. But you know what? Our past is like a little needy child that simply wants to be dissolved in the arms of God. So even the things that you would try to reject about yourself and your nature, come invite it into the presence of the Lord. Because in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. There is a peace beyond your wildest imagining. There is a sense of security that nothing can rob you of. There is a promise of provision that even if God has to materialize the food before you, as He does for many, many missionaries across the world today, if He has to materialize it out of the invisible into the visible, your provision is assured. God will always provide for you. God will always lead you through whatever He leads you to. God will always equip you to handle whatever it is He's called you into. You are never alone. He has promised to never leave you and never forsake you. And once you have come under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing that is of the evil or darkness can come near you. You are like, you become like rayed to the roaches. They shrink back. They can't touch the blood-bought child of God. You belong to Jesus Christ. Your life belongs to Him. You are His workmanship. You are His vessel of honor, crafted and prepared and designed to do specific good works. Yes, you even have an allotment of beautiful works that God has apportioned for you to do. Have you been busy about the things of the Father's kingdom? Are you aware of any of those good works that you felt were heaven sent for you to fulfill? I look back at my own life one time, and the things I really felt were my best moments were actually my most desperate and painful moments, where I had to make choices completely out of my comfort zone, completely out of what I felt I could handle. But I had to make them, and I made them because they were the right thing to do. They weren't the easy choice. They weren't the pleasant choice. They weren't in the area of my expertise at all. And I found that's another key. God always calls you to do something that you can't do without Him. You have to co-partner, because you can only take it so far. He has to bridge your inadequacies through to perfection. But that's another promise. He is faithful to fulfill the good work He has begun in you. So that little seed of salvation that your little willingness opens to grows up as a mighty oak of righteousness, which becomes your very life. from that tiny seed. That seed of redemption, that seed of the Christ, that Christ seed within you, that star seed within you, births you into the day star, and you co-participate and partake of the fullness of the Christ action as it moves forth throughout the galaxies and the universes and the dimensional planes, spanning time into eternity and eternity into time, so that the two become erased and subsumed in the revelation of eternality, ever expanding divine bliss, awareness, beingness. Our life is just getting ready to start. Accepting the gift of salvation, divine restoration, pardon, exoneration, whatever terms you want to call it, you are liberated. You are given moksha, that which so many people try by their own efforts to achieve, are received with the simplicity of a child that comes and receives the gift. Don't ever think by your works you can set yourself free. You can perfect yourself. You, of yourself, do nothing. It is the Father, the Spirit of the living God within you, that does all things. And Jesus is like a vine. He's likened himself to the vine. And we have been likened to the branches of that vine. And Jesus said, if we stay connected to that vine of himself, we will bear much fruit. But apart from the vine, we can do nothing. But with him, nothing, literally nothing, is impossible. Today, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which was prophesied for these times, there is a quickening happening, a supernatural endowment of power and anointing and facilitation that is moving like a quick fire through the body of Christ. More and more are coming online, are becoming enlivened with the Holy Shekinah fire. And they are doing the works that Jesus did and greater. Because for one thing, we don't have just a short span of time. For another thing, we are some 2,000 years more advanced in, let's say, the unfolding of this age of grace. This is the age of grace, the age that we are currently living in. And so, whoever is willing and offers themselves, particularly those that aren't really very terribly complex, I think those of us that have the less training, the less theology, the less erudition perhaps, the less clutter, sometimes the simple people receive these things the more readily because they have less to wade through. But this is the year of the child, 2012, when you are seeing the anointing coming upon very young children. There's a little three-year-old child that watched a blind person being healed after he was healed. He was healed of his blindness, and he was watching as the ministry was taking place and people were being healed of various conditions. And so he ran out amongst the throng of people and began laying his hands and praying for everyone that he saw was blind. And they were instantly healed. This is a little 3-year-old child who didn't stop for a second to question whether or not he could heal. He was healed. He saw the Holy Spirit healing others. So he took that by faith and stepped out. So for you to activate your gifts, you must step out in an act of faith, in an act of obedience. And when you have asked the infilling of the Holy Spirit to fill you, you'll find you're almost pushed into situations where before you even think twice, you're walking up to that person and saying, can I pray for you? Do you mind if I lay hands on you and ask God to heal you? Do you need some assistance here? Can I speak into your life what the Holy Spirit is guiding me to share with you? You know, you always come very gently and ask people. But you know, people are desperate today. They're very desperate. They want to know that God is real. They want to know that there are such things as miracles. We cannot depend upon the things of the world. We can see how everything man stockpiles to take care of himself, somehow nature has a way of messing up his plans. What does it do if you're a doomsday prepper and you've got all this stockpile of stuff and the next tornado blows it all away? How can you prepare? You know, this says in the Bible that those who try to save their lives will lose their lives. And those who lose their lives for the sake of Christ, who die in Christ, so to speak, by dying to self, they gain eternal life. So as much as we try to protect ourselves in these times, I hope that you get the message in these seminars each week that the best thing you can do is to learn how to live in Christ and allow His Spirit to fill you and to operate through you, so that if you step from this life into the next dimension, you are promised eternal life. You are promised that you will be met by Jesus. The instant you die, the instant you leave this body, you are face to face with the Lord, and He has promised you He will take you home to the Father. I think you can take His words, for they have proven true for thousands and millions and even billions of people. Jesus today is appearing clothed in a white robe to thousands of people all over the world, people who have never heard of Him. In some cases, to where he needs to introduce himself. And sometimes he'll say, I am Jesus of Nazareth, the God of Isaac and Abraham, Jacob. Or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Come, follow me. Does that mean that he's not the God of anyone else? No. But a specific people at a specific time, within a specific lineage, in a specific ordering, was prepared for the coming of the Messiah. And 323 promises were given, prophetic things that the Messiah had to fulfill to in fact be the Messiah. And these were all given in the Torah. In the case of the prophet Isaiah, every little detail of the crucifixion was portrayed in his prophetic words, which were spoken some 700 years before the coming of Jesus into this world. So there always has to be a proper place to receive the gift. And we can receive our gift by coming humbly and simply. The biggest block that keeps people from coming to God like a little child is pride. You've got to lay down that pride, that self-sufficiency, that independent spirit that says, oh, I can do it myself, I don't need a Savior. Oh, yes, you do. Accept the gift and don't be the fool. For it is the fool that says there is no God. Or what are the signs of the times? Things are just always as they've always been. If you can't see the writing on the wall and the signs of the times, where in the world are you looking? So, are you burdened or are you free? As always, it's left to your choice. God has set before you life or death. Choose your life and life more abundant. So let's go out chanting the beautiful name of Jesus in Hebrew, Yeshua. Deep breath. Yeshua. We send a blessing out to this planet as we hold our palms outward. Peace, love, and the presence of God. May these be visited upon every man, woman, and child, that they may know that they are loved and that God is. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Adonai.